Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the USMLE Preparation Company's Talking USMLE podcast. Today, we're interviewing a very special guest, and we came across her profile on Instagram. And what really caught our attention about her was she creates these awesome drawings as memory aids to help understand complex medical processes. And we just thought it was awesome, and so we wanted to have her on. So I hope you enjoy this interview with Dr. Lara Sala. So thank you, Dr. Sala, for taking the time to meet with us today. I'm Dr. Pauls. Nice to meet you. This is Dr. Stavros.
Hi, Doctor.
And, hi, Doc. Nice to meet you both.
So let's just start out so that our audience first knows who we're talking to. Give us a little bit of background, like where you grew up, where you're from, things like that.
So basically, I grew up in Lebanon.
Okay.
And that's where I spend most of my life. But before moving to the United States, I went to Dubai for a few years. And that's it.
Okay, where did you do your medical school training?
I did it in Lebanon.
Okay, and your undergrad, did you study sciences? What did you study?
So this is the thing which is very interesting. Most people don't know here that outside of the United States, there's certain countries you don't have to do an undergrad. You just go into medical school, and medical school is like 7 to 8 years.
Okay.
So you do 3 years of studying of basics. The basics of medicine, like physiology, pathology, histology, and all of these. And then the last 4 years, you do your clinicals. And the last year, which is the 8th year, you do a whole year of rotations.
Okay. So how competitive is that amongst the general population? Because I could imagine it's got to be super competitive if you can just do it right away.
It is very competitive. So I remember when I went in this specific university, they needed only 60 students, but the ones who applied were above 800. This is just one university. And still, they set a high score. So not only if 60 are the best scores, they take them. They set a specific score. So the year I joined, actually only 47 made it to the score. Wow. So they still didn't take the whole 60.
So what are the criteria for acceptance? Is it just grades or is it like everything as a whole?
So what they do is three different things. The first thing is they take the national grades for that year, just to be fair, because everyone comes in from different schools. Mm-hmm. So there's national exams throughout the country that you go through at the last year of school. So they take those results into consideration. They have their own admission exam, which is basically chemistry, biology, and physics, and English test. And as well, they do, once you have passed those in very high scores, they do an interview just to make sure you have the right personality, you're there for the right purpose.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. Wow, that sounds competitive. Do they expect you to do a lot of things like extracurriculars, like volunteering, or is that not really that important for this?
It's not. No. It's not. This is what's surprising, is I know here it's very important.
Yeah.
But there, no, they do not really kind of stress on that point.
Okay. So it's purely academic. So that's got to...
Yes.
Yeah. So that's got to be both good if you're very academically inclined, but also stressful if you're not, I guess.
Kind of, but that's where they do the interview, right?
Sure.
Because once they're interviewing you, they kind of get a sense of your personality, which is the same thing in matching. Once they go for residency, they do care about what type of personality person you are.
Yeah.
And they take that into consideration.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they want to see if there's a good fit. You know, want to see if you fit with them and they fit with you. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when did you come to the United States?
I came in 2016.
Okay. Very nice. Did you come for residency or what did that look like?
I did come for residency. So basically before I came here, I went for residency in Dubai. Mm-hmm. And I liked it. But the thing is, once you go for an American board, it qualifies you to work anywhere in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And that doesn't apply to any other boards. So if you're whatever, European board or Arabic board or whatever country you have graduated in, you're allowed only to work within a certain number of countries. Mm-hmm. But if you hold the American board, wherever you go, you're allowed to actually practice.
Okay, so
that was the mistake.
So you did a residency in Dubai for what?
Internal medicine.
Okay. And then when you finished that, you came to the US right away?
I didn't finish it. I didn't finish all of that.
Okay.
I actually did only 1 year of it, and then I transferred here.
Okay. So are you currently a resident or are you an attending?
Yes, no residence though.
Okay. And internal medicine as well?
No, family med.
Pardon me?
Family med.
Oh, okay.
Learning.
Did you, as a foreign grad, did you face, you think, any additional obstacles? Or did it feel like it was an extra arduous process for you to come over?
It was a lot of difficulties.
Yeah.
So the thing is, most students outside the United States, they really do not understand the process, as simple as not even knowing what are the required exams.
Mm-hmm.
So it really took me a few months of searching. And sometimes the students and other people do not want to share with you. They think if they share, maybe you're going to take the opportunity. I don't know why is that actually a thing out there. So I did a few months research until I kind of understood the concept. I understood where I should register, what exams I should be applying with, what's the best way of studying for each exam. So this takes, if you don't have someone to guide you through it, it can be a lot of time consuming. So that was the first challenge. The second challenge is, of course, being matched as an IMG.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many programs that they call them IMG friendly or not IMG friendly. So it really was a lot of obstacles and challenges.
Yeah, I can imagine. And you're in California, right?
Yes, which is one of the toughest places to actually match. That's true.
Congratulations. That's wonderful. That's congratulations.
Thank you.
What city are you in? I know you're Southern California, right?
Yes.
Where about?
I'm in Orange County.
Oh, okay. How do you like it out there?
I love it.
Yeah.
Very
weather's The weather's very good, right?
Perfect.
Did you?
I always say the weather's amazing out there. It's wonderful,
It is.
Did you apply broadly, or did you apply specifically for California?
No, I applied specifically, but the thing is, one of the things that also work, besides you have to have a really good scores, other than good scores, you have to have experience. You should have some research experience or observership or all of these. Beside all of those, there's one other factor that's important is connections, which is kind of true. And that's why most people go for observership.
Mm-hmm.
When they go for observership, they kind of expose them to the people in different departments or the department they want to be part of.
Yeah.
So that's where they build the connection. And that gives them a higher chance of actually joining a program other than someone else who have applied.
Sure. Yeah, I'm actually really glad you said that, because I'm sure you've probably heard that the step one is now changing from 3 digits to pass fail, right?
Yes.
And one of the common things that we're hearing is that, obviously, because we don't have that objective thing to compare other students to, so everybody is now saying that your connections are going to be more important than ever, which, just like you said, is true. But I think a lot of people are misinterpreting what the word connection means. A lot of people think that there's going to be an unfair advantage to people whose, you know, parents are doctors and their family's going to do favors. And me and Dr. Stavros have been trying to sort of create this narrative where you can go out and create your own connections, especially with the internet these days. I mean, we reached out to you just through Instagram, and now, you know, we have a connection, and it's so important. So can you just sort of just talk to the students out there who are IMGs or FMGs who are now thinking that their chances are gone because of this, and just explain to them that, you know, it's not?
I think one major thing to mention is when I came here,
mm-hmm.
I do not have any family or any relatives or any connection.
Wow.
So technically it was me alone here in the whole United States.
That's incredible.
So I think that kind of tells you ahead that I didn't choose any personal connections that I knew before. Mm-hmm. Everything I built was within when I came here. Go out, talk to people. There's many physicians around you. I literally would stop people if I see them and there's crops, I would literally talk to the people in the market. It doesn't matter. I'll ask. Asking questions and connecting with people helps you a lot. you never know who has like an opportunity for you to start even as an MA. You can get as an IMG, an MA certificate, and you can be kind of having a limited hands-on experience, right? And from there, you can step further. So connections is not about who you know, it's about who you're going to build within once you come here or even through the interview, as you said. None of my connections has been built before I came here.
That's, I mean, I'm just... It really excites me to hear you say this because we have literally been talking about this for the last 72 hours and it's
nonstop.
And, you know, and I just sort of had a Instagram argument with someone who said, nepotism is just going to take over and, you know, it's going to be who, you know, and I was trying to make this exact point that you just made and you're just, you know, you're confirming what we've been saying because everyone is just being so negative about it. But I love that you came here with absolutely no connections and all of a sudden now you're in California, which, you know, everybody would love to get to. It's amazing.
Yeah. So it's a difficult state too to get into. It's
Absolutely. For foreign grads. Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's an amazing accomplishment. And just like I said, the fact that you came here with no connections is unbelievable. With that, what do you think about this new step one change? You know, what was your immediate gut reaction when you heard about it?
I think it's a good step. I don't find it something negative, because honestly, you kind of know it, at certain point it has been a high concentration point for most departments, like head departments, and they gave it so much attention, I would say. They focused on the step one results for the overall acceptance of the students, most of them, I'm not saying everyone. So I feel that kind of opens opportunities for other students. Let's say you did well on your step one, but what about step two? What about your class?
Yeah.
What about your personality?
Yes.
I think all of these need to be fairly evaluated. And throughout the years, only step one has been given so much attention, more than other things. So it is a good evaluation. I'm pretty sure they thought about it. It's still a good evaluation for the students' skills. Again, it literally tests you on your basics. Let's be honest. Right. How much do we remember about the basics?
Yeah.
Pretty much none.
Right, right. Exactly.
So why should this be the most important thing or indicator if I'm good enough to match in a certain program or not? So I feel it is a good step.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, dreams were destroyed because, you know, your step one was, okay, above average, or you passed by a few points, and then you study so hard for CK, you get a 240, 250, and some programs go, I'm sorry, doctor, and they'll never tell you. They'll just say, you didn't match. You find out later it's because of that step one, which is engraved in your heart, in your soul. You can't change it. You passed it, right? So that's why it blew Dr. Paul my mind away with what's just complaining. It's not necessary. Just study hard, pass your tests, and get in. That's it.
Yeah, 100% right. It's about time to actually give every other part of the process importance as much as it's always been given to step one.
Yeah, and you know, just like if you flip that around too, like we've been doing this for almost 10 years now, actually over 10 years. And while the step one has been a nice feature for people to come in and really do well and, you know, get their foot in the door for interviews, a lot of really smart, well-rounded, kind people have likewise done poorly on step one, but it was in no way a reflection of who they were, how great of a doctor they would be. And it's ruined a lot of people too, who didn't deserve that either. So like you said, I think it's a good step in the right direction. I'm glad to hear that, you know, someone definitely has our back on this one.
And by the way, I know that you guys focus a lot on CS exam, and I don't know if you heard the propaganda where IMGs are extremely concerned about the centers where they need to apply for the CS. Have you heard about that?
Oh, absolutely. We talk almost on a daily basis. We get those questions.
Yeah, funny enough, I was an IMG, and as I said, the first year I came here, I applied through LA Center. And literally, I didn't see any IMG there.
Really?
Which they kind of warned me about, but still I passed it from the first time. So again, I think that's another point to be stressed out for IMGs and kind of change these concepts.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Dr. Saros and I both are IMGs as well. And, you know, we've dealt with all of these things and we have that experience so we can empathize with students when we say that if you go into any of the centers and you're ill prepared, you're probably not going to do well. But if you go in and you've got everything just nailed down and you're in a really good spot, your chances of passing are going to be high everywhere. So, you know, there's always going to be the new conspiracy or the new, you know, this isn't right or this isn't right. But at the end of the day, I mean, you came in, you're the poster child for a foreign grad coming in with nothing and actually doing it. So, you know,
connecting nothing, exactly, making your own.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah.
You both are surely making it a much easier, more predictable process for most of them. I wish I knew both of you before I took my CS.
Well, you did it anyway, so I mean that's good. So the reason the way I came across you was I found you somehow through someone else, and then I scrolled through your profile and I saw all these real cool images of you know. Basically cool drawings that were designed to be memory aids. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. Tell us, how did you get into doing that? And I have a few follow-ups on it, but how did you get into that in the first place?
I think I got into this when I was taking my histology course. It was really difficult for me to remember the very details things. And in my own way, I was able to transfer the information into a drawing. And just from transferring that, I could sum up like 30 pages of full details into one picture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized, oh, actually, I am more a visual person. Like I prefer photos than actually words. After that, I started doing my own drawings. I do enjoy drawing as much as it could be time consuming sometimes. But I tried to create these drawings out of nowhere, like just I take the disease, kind of imagine how it could look into an image, and created it. The purpose was basically to help myself as well as medical students just to remember some things from the disease. But then throughout the years, I did do my steps, and that's where I had my own notes.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my notes gathered in a nice way from, you know, your word, other things. And I tried to kind of create from each subject a drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have much more, but I wanted to share only limited pictures with my audience. So it is helpful for them, mm-hmm. but I still have a bigger collection that I'm kind of holding on for now.
So the big thing that popped into my head was, so you're holding on to some, which that was what I was curious about. Do you think in the future you're going to turn it into some sort of business, like putting them into a book?
Yes. The first one that's almost ready would be the step two, which is, I think, could work better than step one, mm-hmm. With images and pictures, because you're kind of talking about diseases.
Yeah.
I want the book to be specifically more targeting IMG students, because the notes that I still hold within the images are much detailed than the ones I've posted.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of makes it a little bit, even like by 25%, if it can make it easier for IMG to study for a step two,
sure.
Why not?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, eventually I do want to put it into a book, whether it's an ebook or a real book or whatever it is. And it's going to be posted basically for USMLE step two.
That's awesome. Is that something you're actively working on, or is it just an idea that you have?
No, I'm actively working on that.
Do you have an anticipated release date?
I'm excited to hear.
Me too. Yeah.
I would say by the beginning of the summer for sure.
Oh, nice.
Awesome. So
did we get a copy each, right? A little signature copy, perhaps?
Of course.
Of course.
You're the first request.
And when you do, when it is ready, let us know, because we will definitely you know, announce it to our audience, because I think that would be something that everybody would want to get their hands on. I know I would have benefited from that for sure.
Definitely.
So yeah, reach out.
I'd appreciate
it. Yeah, reach out to us. So I'm just curious, and I'll see it, so I won't dig too deep, but is it going to be like based on systems? How are you going to organize it? Do you have any idea yet?
Yes. Exactly. It's going to be based on systems. In each system, each disease from A to Z. Again, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for just medical students. I would say it's more, again, for people who are applying for their step two. It's going to be very detailed in a
Nice.
way, but only the important details.
Awesome.
Very nice.
I can't wait to see that. That's awesome. After that, do you have any plans to do a step one, or are you more just you enjoy the clinical, so you'll stick with that?
I'm fair enough. I think there is enough detailed books that did it way better. I think step one, you cannot really sum it up. It is
Good
very
point.
detail based. So I cannot really just make a book and say, hey, listen, this is the best one for step one. I don't see an added value for whatever is available out there. Step two, it's an easier concept with the diseases. But step one, you really need to know the details as they are. And I think whatever is available out there, like from first aid, for example, is way more better than whatever I can offer.
Well, the nice thing about being focused on CDK is also that's the only graded exam now after they make it pass fail. So I
Technically.
mean, you kind of have the leverage right there, which is pretty awesome.
Thank you. I didn't put it that way, but that is
Yeah, no,
a
absolutely, that's huge. So that's awesome. So yeah, definitely let us know when you release that. We will be more than happy to send it
pleasure.
out to our audience, let them know. We're not going to keep you too much longer. Let everyone who's listening or watching know, where can they find you on social media? Where do you spend most of your time?
I'm mostly on Instagram, that's for sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
You
as
want
much as I can be there.
and what can you t I'll leave it in the show notes, but can you tell the audience what's your Instagram handle?
It is at dr.alsaleh.
All right, awesome. Before we let you go, do you have any questions for us?
Do you actually have an actual place where you train students for their CS exams?
Yeah, it's in Lincolnwood, which is just north of downtown Chicago.
Oh, interesting. So I guess next time I'm in Chicago, I know who I will be contacting.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You definitely stop on by. You know, it's nice because a lot of students come here, they train at our facility, and then they go take the test in Chicago and they go back home, whether it be domestic or international. So it's a live setting. So love to see you and come on over. It'd be
Absolutely.
great. I would love to. I haven't been to Chicago, but for sure I've heard it's one of the nice cities that needs to be visited.
During the summertime.
Oh
Yeah,
yeah.
do not come now. No.
Deal with the winter alone. It's okay. I'll do it for you guys. Come for the summer.
Awesome. All right, well, thank you so much for your time. It was really nice to meet you and get to know a little bit more about you and your upcoming business. I'm pumped to see it. So keep us updated and take
Well,
care. Thank you for your time.
thank you,
Thank you,
thank you again for the opportunity to meet you both.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure. Take care.
Have a good day.
You too, thanks.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.